find. I think that part of what's driving climate change in our current economy, I mentioned consumption and fossil fuel industry, but with the consumption right now, the priority of the industrial economy is making things as cheaply as possible. So you might, you know, I don't know, maybe this wood came from Indonesia and then it was processed in India and then it was shipped somewhere and then it got here, right? So many of the things we use, different things happen different places. And even in the Paris Climate Accord, my understanding is that that did not account for the transportation costs of shipping things from China. So, like, that doesn't count on China's balance sheet and it doesn't count on our sheet. But it's a huge contributor to climate change, the transportation. So I think that there will be more thought given to what do we actually have the capacity to produce locally and what do we really need to get from somewhere else. And cost will be a consideration, but it won't be the only driver to the economy. That if we can produce local jobs making furniture here, and we have enough woods in Pennsylvania if we log responsibly, that there will be much more of a, a value put on that. And so there will still be transportation, but it won't be like everything is coming from somewhere else.
What about other animals aside from humans, whether they be plants, trees, grass, or other critters that live in the city? What's that like in 123 years?
I think that the climate crisis I'm describing also wakes people up to living in more harmony with those other critters. Right now, there's a lot of critters in Philadelphia that people don't even notice. There are fox in my neighborhood of East Falls.
Wow.
In the city limits, I've seen fox several times. You know, there's birds, there's raccoons, there's we have groundhogs in our neighborhood too.
Will there be more or less of that in 120 some years?
I think I think there will be more respect for the life that's here. One of the things I think is miraculous is how those species have survived in the city. But a lot of people probably see them as just pests and, you know, not things to be respected. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that people have learned to live in a more balanced way. I just heard a Mohawk man recite it's not quite a prayer. Some people call it the words that come before all else. It's like a preface to any gathering where they kind of express gratitude for everything. Not just the sun and the moon and the food, but the birds and the animals and the rivers and all the different parts of life. And it's quite long, because there's a lot to be grateful for. And when I talked to him about it afterward, he said that he thought the core of it was respect. And so that's part of what I would love to see, is a future where human beings are far more respectful of each other and also of other living beings.
Let's take a step even further. And this, we're going to get really abstract and as imaginative as you want to be, because this is so far out there. But let's visit the year 2312. Okay, so this is about 300 years. It's 295 years, almost 300 years into the future. And again, as a reference point to think from where we are back 295 years, that was the year 1722. So North America had a number of Europeans that were warring and trying to colonize different areas, but it was, North America was still very much a Native American homeland. It was unclear how the future would evolve. Philadelphia as a city
Mm-hmm.
was already 40 years old,
Mm-hmm.
But the American Revolution wouldn't happen for another half century. As far as energy goes, wood was the dominant energy source, with food and plants being another form of fuel to power human muscles and animal muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But the age of coal would not happen in the United States, at least for another 150 years.
Mm.
So from where we are today in 2017, we're going to step not just 150 years, but double that, almost 300 years into the future. The year is 2312, around then. Imagine somebody, and they have some sort of energy technology. What does that technology look like? What is it doing?
Hmm.
And what is that person doing near it?
It's hard for me to imagine the specifics of what that will be, but what I know about people is that growing healthy food and providing food to people will be a key part. Providing a moderate temperature, not too hot, not too cold, and helping to regulate that, because I think the earth probably will be a lot hotter. Ways of people communicating, I think, will still be important. People wrote a lot more letters back in the 1700s with quill pens, and I don't think they could imagine the iPhone. And so I don't think I can imagine what the thing will be, but I know that being able to communicate with that friend who lives far away will be one of the human needs that people figure out how to meet. Our ancestors sat around a fire, you know, and told stories, and I think that human need will still be there, whether it's a lamp, whether it's a kerosene lamp like I had in Botswana, or something lit by solar. I don't know what it is, but I know that people will need places to gather and tell stories and break bread together.
What does Philadelphia look like in 300 years from now? Are the buildings tall? Are they small? Is it still a mix?
I think Philadelphia has held on to its historic buildings because people will have decided that that's important. I think a lot of the buildings will be taller and more compact, but that is more efficient. I think we'll have a greater sense of community in those buildings. Sometimes now big buildings, ironically, the more people you have, the less sense of a community you have, but people will have deliberately sought ways to foster community. I think there will be very few people who look as white as I look, that we will be, you know, a city of different hues without the stark lines that we have today.
Where are people getting their food? Or how? Does food look the same?
Well, I don't want to live in a world of Soylent Green, so I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say we
it's
still...
your vision, right? Absolutely.
We still have green veggies, and I'm curious as to whether people will still eat animals in 300 years. If I could travel to the future, that's something I would be really curious about.
Mm-hmm.
My suspicion is that they will not, or they'll eat much, much less. I think even in 120 years, my guess would be that people still eat animals, but they eat far less than we do today.
Mm. How are people moving around?
I don't know, maybe they'll finally have the hoverboards that Back to the Future predicted.
Are there any other things as we're wrapping up here, are there any other parts of your vision or things that you want to share?
I think that part of my vision is that people come to see our commonalities more than they see our differences. Not erasing difference, but that we understand we all need to eat. We all need community. We all need to get around. And that there are better ways of doing those things that could be better for everybody.
It's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you for making so much time with us today.
Thank you.